It's September 25th, 2022, 16:59 hours. Ward Green here. I'm recording on my Zoom H4N audio recorder, simultaneous with my video, which is recorded on my iPhone 6S. So, little children, today our task is, or our work, but our pleasure also, is to read Proverbs chapter 25. And let's see what else I've got here. That's an awfully bright. That might be a little better. Okay. I was looking at the weather, I guess, for today. Well, it looks like rain today and tomorrow, too, and the next day. Maybe 3 days of sort of rainy weather, at least part of the day. Maybe not during the daylight hours. I haven't investigated when it's going to rain yet. But the thing is, anytime there's rain, it's generally a sign that I'm going to be indoors because the ground could be wet. So if I'm working on the lawn or the grassy surfaces of the lawn, the yard, not so much on the sidewalk or the walkway, but even if I have slate in places for a walkway, that can be slippery too. Anyway, so it's just a good idea to avoid that. What was I thinking? That was an update here. I wanted to talk first of all about the idea of stockpiling, because we know that the body will stockpile fat, for example, when we eat a lot of fructose or in the form of fruit, like bears eat in a similar way. Before they hibernate for the winter, they eat fruit, bears do, and they, you know, in the form of berries and things like that, whatever they can find. And the fructose is converted to fat in humans by the liver. I don't know about bears, but how it works in bears specifically, but fructose is also a way to stockpile fat for humans, where too much sugar generally and too many carbs generally are known to be causing humans to stockpile fat. And so to lose fat, we have to stop eating certain, hopefully, or sometimes, I mean, not hopefully, but preferably, I should say, preferably we stop eating everything if we want to lose weight. But we can't always do that if we're not healthy enough to do that. But anyway, if we can stop eating certain of these, especially sugar and carbs and things that produce fat in our bodies, then we can, although even fat-rich things, if we eat just too much food in general, we can put on fat. Probably because there are things within that food that can cause the stockpiling of fat. But anyway, the body will stockpile fat when we eat sugar. That's what I wanted to talk about. So if we're eating too much sugar, we can stockpile fat, which is possibly useful if you're going to be without food for some period of time, but it's not going to do any good for your health necessarily to have this fat added to your system. That's the thing. That's why we might even think about or ponder this, that when bears get fat for the winter, they're sleeping, they're hibernating, they're not active. So in the hibernating state, the fat might be healthy enough. It's not healthy, it's not healthy to have that fat on when they're active, is the other side of that reasoning. So that's curious and interesting. I'd never thought of that before, but that's another thing that could be considered here. With humans, we're not healthy when we have extra fat. And that's known. I mean, people like the Mayo Clinic talk about the risk of having excess fat in the body. It's more delicate, or males are more susceptible to suffering harm from excess, from even a small amount of excess body fat, whereas the female body tolerates it in small amounts better as far as health goes. So that there are toxins produced by the fat or associated with the fat in the human body that can make fat very dangerous, and it's linked to cancer and things like this by the Mayo Clinic and people who are authorities. But we, not that we put any faith in human authorities, but it's noteworthy what people currently believe, just to mention it. But the other thing about stockpiling, and another thing, if we take a substance into our body that's not food, well, even sugar is not food, it's just a processed food, right? It's not a real food. So if we take other non-food items into our body, or substances, I should say, like drugs, which any of which, even sugar is a drug, if you consider any non-food substance to be a drug, then any other drug besides sugar that we take into our body can also cause stockpiling. The thing is, it can stockpile something else other than fat. It can cause us to stockpile some other substance that we need in order to fight against that non-food item and the harm it can do to our body. So stockpiling can occur in our bodies, and another really crucial or fascinating example that I want to talk about is how taking in calcium supplements, if our bones are not strong, the calcium supplements can deposit calcium into the joints of our bodies. I have experienced arthritis in my hand, my main working hand. That's the main place where I've gotten arthritis. But I've experienced hip pain. That's right. That could have been arthritis. And it could be that I'm getting osteoarthritis in some places, but I believe I have rheumatoid arthritis because of the swelling I've noticed in my joints in some cases. I believe that I had rheumatoid arthritis. So it could be rheumatoid in every case, or maybe not. Maybe my hips are rheumatoid as well. But the thing is, my hips, I haven't noticed my hips bothering me recently either. When I've walked a mile to the post office and back, my hips didn't bother me then. So my hips are much better now, I guess. I know it. I know they're better than they were back when, like, maybe this was 20 years ago or maybe 15 years ago or whenever. But it's been up, even very recently, I've had the hip pain. Up until very recently, I've had hip pain when I was walking. And it's not immediate. Like, I have to walk for a while before I notice it. But that could be arthritis. Now, the thing is, that could be a deposit in the joints of calcium. Now, the reason why the body stockpiles that can be because the bones aren't strong. That's the idea. That was presented in The Calcium Factor, the book, The Calcium Factor, by Carl Reich, who was a doctor, and Bob Barefoot, who was a co-author with him. He was not a doctor. In that book, they did mention that if the bones aren't strong enough, then the body will create things like bone spurs and things like, you know, calcium in the joints to cause pain to slow the person down so they don't break the bone by being overly active. So that idea of stockpiling is very interesting. And what we find is that the vitamin, what I've discovered recently in my research and my own experience of using it, is that vitamin K2 eliminates the calcium buildup in these bad places. I guess my hips are better now too. Of course, I'm taking more K2 now, and maybe that's why. I'm taking much more than just one a day, which is what I was, or three, I was taking three a day, sorry. For a long time, I took three a day. There's no toxicity known to be, you know, true or evident, or what's the word, manifested for vitamin K2. There's no toxicity known to be in evidence for vitamin K2 in humans, so we don't know of any toxicity. It's unbelievable, but it's true. Whereas water is even toxic, even if it's the purest water. It's even absolutely pure water is toxic. If you drink too much, 5 quarts will kill you. That's toxic, but vitamin K2 has no known toxicity. So I'm now taking much more than three a day, but it's probably at least double, but probably more like quadruple, or a little less than quadruple, of that. So whatever that is, I take maybe 10 a day or something of the K2. And so there, even though it's a recommended one per day, recommended dosage, there's no known toxicity. It's not like other vitamins. There's no known recommended dosage. And the world-renowned expert, Kate Rayon Blue, who's a Canadian Ontario naturopath doctor, who was the expert on vitamin K2, the best world expert, the foremost world expert on vitamin K2, she took three a day when she was pregnant. So I started taking three a day when I started because I thought, well, if it's good enough for her, it's good enough for me. So I did that for a long time, but then it wasn't enough. I found out recently when I increased the amount, just experimentally, I found out my health got even better. So, yeah, that was, I finally got the, I'm not sure what caused me to make that decision, but at some point I decided I would try more K2. Anyway, so the K2 has this amazing ability to eliminate arthritis, okay? Or to move calcium. But how does it do it? It doesn't, maybe the K2 doesn't go into the joint and move it. The K2 works with vitamin D. So it makes vitamin D less toxic. And we know D is toxic. And people who take D and calcium together, which many people do, are probably going to suffer problems and they'll die because of taking the vitamin D, which is toxic. Unless they take vitamin K2, which is not only not toxic, but it works with vitamin D to detoxify vitamin D as well, because it uses up vitamin D, which prevents it from being stockpiled in the body. But not only that, vitamin K works with calcium, so it enables you to put calcium into the bones. So I think that might be what's happening. I just realized today, it might be the vitamin K2 putting the calcium into the bones is what causes the calcium to then leave the joints, because your body knows the bones are strong enough, so it can say, well, we don't need to slow him down anymore. The calcium leaves the joints. However, that doesn't explain how I could take vitamin K2 instantly have the pain go away in my finger. That doesn't explain that. It can't be calcium leaving my fingers that quickly. Like literally a split second after I take it, the pain goes away. That's not explained. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was like 1-2 seconds after I swallowed it, the pain is gone. So how do you explain that? And it stays gone. Like, so arthritic pain is not the same as stiffness. I still have stiffness. But after I move my fingers a few times in the morning, for example, that goes away. But the pain part is the thing, the arthritis I'm talking about. When you move and there's pain, then you don't want to move at all. So, but I mean, the stiffness itself is not a good thing. It's bad. It's a really bad thing that has progressed over the years as I've gotten older. I'll be able to find out what causes it, and maybe we'll be able to know that. I don't know what causes the stiffness yet, but the K2 is still running. Yep, audio is still running. The K2 has this ability to take away the pain, evidently, and it can move calcium to the proper place in the body. So I think we're onto something. I know we're onto something with vitamin K2, and it's not widely recognized. So you can't listen to conventional sources. You just can't listen to conventional nutritional expert sources unless they are, you know, savvy about, well, like, for example, what's his name? Andrew Saul. I was thinking of somebody else with a similar name, but it's Andrew Saul, who has the website Doctor Yourself, I think it's called, .com. Doctor Yourself, yeah. I'm going to check it just to make sure. But he is a vitamin enthusiast, I guess you'd say. Yeah, DoctorYourself.com. He's called the Mega Vitamin Man. He's interested in megavitamins, not just vitamins, but taking lots of vitamins. So he's in the very same vein as the reasoning of Bob Barefoot and Carl Reich, who were very, they were very early, so they were pioneers in the use of calcium supplements and larger quantities of, well, Bob Barefoot himself was a pioneer in the larger quantities of vitamins generally. Carl Reich was a Calgary doctor who was a maverick who went against the medical establishment, and he gave calcium supplements. He was one of the first doctors to do that. And along with, he had to give magnesium and vitamin D as well as calcium in order for that to work. And so that's part of my regimen. I also use vitamin K2, which is so crucial that he didn't know about. And that was discovered and called Activator X by a dentist called Weston Price. And vitamin K2 is a fairly new thing. I mean, the vitamin that we call K2 is a fairly recent discovery, a relatively recent discovery. It occurred after the work of Weston Price discovering what he called Activator X, which improved, it eliminated crowding in the teeth, in the mouth, by facilitating the growth of the jawbone, ostensibly. And so that was a huge discovery. But Dr. Kate Rayon Blue, who's the naturopath expert on vitamin K2, she believes that the vitamin K2 is absolutely crucial for fetal development, but of course for the bones in the fetus, of course. That would make sense, but possibly for other aspects of fetal development, which I don't, I'm not aware of or haven't yet learned about, or, you know, for either I haven't learned it from her or she hasn't learned it or whatever. But vitamin K2 is clearly a massively important element of our dietary needs. And it's obtained by extracting it from, what's it called? MK7, yeah, I think it's called. But it's 7 chain, is the length of the chain of the one that's extracted for the supplements, which is from natto beans. So if you eat natto beans, you don't need to take K2 probably, but if you take, because it's massive amounts in natto beans. But vitamin K2 in the MK7 form is not the shortest chain. The short chain is 4, MK4. MK7 is medium chain. MK4 you find in cheeses and things like that. But only certain cheeses have vitamin K2. It's Brie and Gouda predominantly. They have the most of it. It's because it's a bacterially cultured vitamin in the specific bacteria that they use for those cheeses. A little bit is in cheddar and other cheeses of this vitamin K2. But the other source for K2 is grass-fed dairy products, and the other main source. I think that the Kobe beef possibly has it, because that's a grass-fed beef, right? I mean, it has a lot of it, but the organs of the Kobe beef, I think, is quite rich in vitamin K2 as well. I remember seeing something, a tabulation of this information online a long time ago, years ago, and I can't remember what the details were. But that could be researched. Vitamin K2 is really important. So, and it's got to do with, we don't stockpile vitamin K2, but it does stay in our body for 3 days, whereas K1, which is the salad vitamin, vitamin K, we call vitamin K1, that's vitamin K1, it's not the same as vitamin K2. That only stays in our body for about 8 hours, I think, or something, much less than 3 days. So the superiority of vitamin K2 is manifold, right? I mean, it's multifaceted in the superiority that it has over the other K vitamin, vitamin K1. And there's just so many things to learn about nutrition. So, and how the body stockpiles, like, that's the thing. We have this ability to stockpile things, and that's why it's so bad to take non-food poisons or drugs, which are all the same. Non-food is a poison, is a drug. They're all the same. One is the same as the other. You can call anything that's not food is a drug. Anything, because you're using it. If you're eating it, you're using it for something. Anything that's like... What did I just say? Oh, the non-food. Oh, the poison, yeah. Well, you don't normally use a poison for something in your body. You don't use a poison. It's more like someone uses it against you, or possibly, hopefully not, but you try to avoid poison, right? Normally, you don't actually deliberately put it into your body. So, yeah, that's right. That's true, isn't it? But some people are using poison to take away other symptoms, like, for example, putting nitroglycerin under the tongue for heart, a person who has angina, heart disease. So, and pain. But and to prevent something from happening, to stop a symptom, people will use a poison or a drug. That's how we use poison and drugs. And sugar is a poison. It's a drug. It's processed sugar. So processed sugar, that's the problem. It's too concentrated. And bread is therefore a poison because if it's ground up into fine flour, that is, it's very, very poisonous because it's not natural and it's very concentrated when our body doesn't know how to process that. It process or it reacts as though it tries to treat it as food, but it can't. So it's dangerous. So those are the elements I wanted to talk about to do with stockpiling. So stockpiling in the body, in order for our body to cleanse itself, we need to put all the right things in and none of the wrong things, which can cause inappropriate stockpiling of other substances that should not be there. Just in order to defend ourselves from the poison that we put in. So, well, we know one example would be eating too much sugar, people get fat. And that's the body's way of defending itself against something. But it's not clear what that fat is defending us against. We just know it's not healthy to be overweight. We know that. So it's the way the body we eat more because the sugar causes us to eat more because the body knows that sugar comes with food. If we eat a large amount of sugar, the body says, well, give me more food because I need the food, because that sugar can't be processed without food. And so you eat more and then you get overweight, and then so it's not just the sugar that's causing you to gain weight, it's the fact you start eating more. So so we stockpile. Sugar causes us to stockpile. It's a bad thing, very bad thing, obviously. So, little children, let's read Proverbs 25. Let's pray to Jehovah. Jehovah, help us and guide us. Help us to be receptive to the information that you provide us. And especially to your love that you give us, and help us to be humble and to accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as the mediator between you and us. And we say these things in the name of Jesus as we begin our Bible study. And may you help us to gain wisdom in the study of Proverbs, also in Jesus' name. Amen. So these are also the Proverbs. These also are the Proverbs of Solomon that the men of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, transcribed. The glory of God is the keeping of a matter secret, and the glory of kings is the searching through a matter. The heavens for height and the earth for depth, and the heart of kings, that is unsearchable. Let there be a removing of scummy dross from the silver, and all of it will come forth refined. Let there be the removing of the wicked one before the king, and his throne will be firmly established by righteousness itself. Do not do yourself honor before the king, and in the place of great ones do not stand. For it is better for him to say to you, come up here, than to abase you before a noble whom your eyes have seen. Do not go forth to conduct a legal case hastily, that it may not be a question of what you will do in the culmination of it when your fellow man now humiliates you. Plead your own cause with your fellow man, and do not reveal the confidential talk of another, that the one listening may not put you to shame, and the bad report by you can have no recall. as apples of gold in silver carvings is a word spoken at the right time for it. An earring of gold and an ornament of special gold is a wise reprover upon the hearing ear. Just like the coolness of snow in the day of harvest is the faithful envoy to those sending him, for he restores the very soul of his masters. As vaporous clouds and a wind without any downpour is a man boasting himself about a gift in falsehood. By patience a commander is induced, and a mild tongue itself can break a bone. Is it honey that you have found? Eat what is sufficient for you, that you may not take too much of it and have to vomit it up. Make your foot rare at the house of your fellow man, that he may not have his sufficiency of you and certainly hate you. As a war club and a sword and a sharpened arrow is a man testifying against his fellow man as a false witness. As a war club and a sword and a sharpened arrow is a man testifying against his fellow man as a false witness. As a broken tooth and a wobbling foot is the confidence in one proving treacherous in the day of distress. There's that treachery again. Every time treachery comes up, I stumble over something just prior to it, which is proof that the heart is treacherous, perhaps. That's one thing it proves. In other words, we're all treacherous at heart, is another thing that could be taken from that. Because I don't believe I'm treacherous. I'm not aware of any treachery, per se. He that is removing a garment on a cold day is as vinegar upon alkali, and as a singer with songs upon a gloomy heart. He that is removing a garment on a cold day is as vinegar upon alkali, and as a singer with songs upon a gloomy heart. If the one hating you is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink, for coals are what you are raking together upon his head, and Jehovah himself will reward you. The wind from the north brings forth, as with labor pains, a downpour, and a tongue giving away a secret, a denounced face. Better is it to dwell upon a corner of a roof than with a contentious wife, although in a house in common. As cold water upon a tired soul, so is a good report from a distant land. A fouled spring and a ruined well is the righteous one when staggering before the wicked one. The eating of too much honey is not good, and for people to search out their own glory, is it glory? As a city broken through without a wall is the man that has no restraint for his spirit. That was Proverbs chapter 25. And, I mean, I want to study some of the more important teachings of Jesus, too, in the Bible. We had a discussion today from one of the videos. I've only seen the one video so far on the JW.org site, which was about Jesus commissioning his disciples to go preaching, his 12 apostles particularly. And it was about enduring as well, enduring to the end. But that was one of the points that was brought up, was the endurance part. But there were ideas about the idea about the harvest being so intensive, the time of the harvest in which we're living now, which pertains to the literal harvest too. We live in the harvest at this time of year when all the crops must be brought in before the rains can destroy it, and the bad weather can, you know, destroy all the fruitage that came about as a result of the growing season. So it's a very energy intensive, it's a busy time. Everybody needs to be busy in the harvest, working to bring in, to gather in, to bring in bringing in the fruit of the field, whatever that is, or of the orchard, or whatever part that is. Now, there are different times when, for example, the apples might come in a little later in the orchard than the wheat crop or the corn and all these things. They come at different times. We had the watermelon earlier, and we've had peaches come, nectarines and peaches. They've been harvested. So the apples, I've got some very good apples. I suspect it's because they're already ripe. That's why I've got them now. They're so good. And so they may have already started to come in. But the apple harvest for some apples is even later than this. Oh, that's right. It is almost October. So yeah, we're in the apple harvest now, I would believe. It won't be over yet, but it will soon be over, probably. So that's another thing. We're really in that period of time, which we call the harvest, but that's literally in September. But we also know, that might be why September, the first Monday in September, is called Labor Day, possibly too, right? It seems like that's not why it was named that. Okay. Why is Labor Day? I don't know why. Why is Labor Day called that? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I suppose it was to recognize the workers who made America prosperous. But of course, we know that the harvest time is this time of year, so that's a good connection as to why it might be this time of year. But we also know there's a figurative harvest of disciples of Christianity, of the disciples of Christ that have been being gathered since 1914 by Jehovah's people, and that's what was talked about in the video too. It was Brother Schaefer, right? Yeah, David Schaefer. And I haven't listened to the other video yet. Yeah. There are other videos I haven't been updating my website to link to these. But yeah, I can't wait to listen to some of the other ones. Or one particular, I want to listen to Gaius Glockentin very soon. What was I going to say? I'm eager to hear that. I was just saying, so we've done Proverbs. I guess I want to do, what I'd like to do is, I'd like to study the Sermon on the Mount, because those are the main teachings that Jesus gave. They're the most well-recognized, the best-known, and they're the most repeated, the most often repeated teachings of Jesus, probably, are from the Sermon on the Mount. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Jesus began by saying, "Happy are those conscious of their spiritual need, since the kingdom of the heavens belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn, since they will be comforted. Happy are the mild-tempered ones, since they will inherit the earth. Happy are those hungering and thirsting for righteousness, since they will be filled. Happy are the merciful, since they will be shown mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, since they will see God. Happy are the peaceable, since they will be called sons of God. Happy are those who have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, since the kingdom of the heavens belongs to them. Happy are you when people reproach you and persecute you and lyingly say every sort of wicked thing against you for my sake. Rejoice and leap for joy, since your reward is great in the heavens, for in that way they persecuted the prophets prior to you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its strength, how will its saltness be restored? It is no longer usable for anything but to be thrown outside and to be trampled on by men. You are the light of the world. A city cannot be hid when situated upon a mountain. People light a lamp and set it not under the measuring basket, but upon the lampstand, and it shines upon all those in the house. Likewise, let your light shine before men, that they may see your fine works and give glory to your Father who is in the heavens. Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you that sooner would heaven and earth pass away than for one smallest letter or one particle of a letter to pass away from the law by any means, and not all things take place. Whoever therefore breaks one of these least commandments and teaches mankind to that effect, he will be called least in relation to the kingdom of the heavens. As for anyone who does them and teaches them, this one will be called great in relation to the kingdom of the heavens. For I say to you that if your righteousness does not abound more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of the heavens. You heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you must not murder. But whoever commits a murder will be accountable to the court of justice. However, I say to you that everyone who continues wrathful with his brother will be accountable to the court of justice. But whoever addresses his brother with an unspeakable word of contempt will be accountable to the Supreme Court. Whereas whoever says, you despicable fool, will be liable to the fiery Gehenna. If then you are bringing your gift to the altar and you there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go away. First make your peace with your brother, and then when you've come back, offer up your gift. Be about settling matters quickly with the one complaining against you at law while you are with him on the way there, that somehow the complainant may not turn you over to the judge and the judge to the court attendant, and you get thrown into prison. I say to you for a fact, you will certainly not come out from there until you have paid over the last coin of very little value. You heard that it was said, you must not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone that keeps looking at a woman so as to have a passion for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If now that right eye of yours is making you stumble, tear it out and throw it away from you. For it is more beneficial to you for one of your members to be lost to you than for your whole body to be pitched into Gehenna. Also, if your right hand is making you stumble, cut it off and throw it away from you. For it is more beneficial to you for one of your members to be lost than for your whole body to land in Gehenna. Moreover, it was said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. However, I say to you that everyone divorcing his wife, except on account of fornication, makes her a subject for adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you must not swear without performing, but you must pay your vows to Jehovah. However, I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, because it is God's throne, nor by earth, because it is the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king, nor by your head must you swear, because you cannot turn one hair white or black. Just let your word yes mean yes, your no, no. For what is in excess of these is from the wicked one. You heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. However, I say to you, do not resist him that is wicked, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other also to him. And if a person wants to go to court with you and get possession of your inner garment, let your outer garment also go to him. And if someone under authority impresses you into service for a mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one asking you, and do not turn away from one that wants to borrow from you without interest. You heard that it was said you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. However, I say to you, continue to love your enemies and to pray for those persecuting you, that you may prove yourselves sons of your Father who is in the heavens, since he makes his sun rise upon wicked people and good and makes it rain upon righteous people and unrighteous. For if you love those loving you, what reward do you have? Are not also the tax collectors doing the same thing? And if you greet your brothers only, what extraordinary things are you doing? Are not also the people of the nations doing the same thing? You must accordingly be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That was Matthew chapter 5. From the Sermon on the Mount, the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, there are three parts. If we take three chapters, is one part each. In Matthew chapter 5 through 7, which is the longer version of that sermon that we have from the Gospels. And so, this might be a good time to end this discussion if there's not anything else to bring up. I wanted to say my lower back pain is a lot less. It's a lot less. So the inflammation of the sugar, it improves the lower back, inflammation in the lower back as well as the other things, apparently. Now, it is getting to be fall, and my arthritis in my hand, or the stiffness part, is getting worse. I think it's because there's not as much sun. The microwave radiation from the sun, even if I don't go outside, the microwave radiation comes through the walls. So in the summer, there's a lot more of that warmth, and that is radiating throughout the body and through the house, through everything. That microwave radiation can penetrate through flesh and through walls and through a lot of things. It can't penetrate through a steel plate. If you were living in a steel box, you'd get none of it. It's electromagnetic in nature. It can't penetrate through metal. But, you know, I mean, a complete metal shield would prevent it from coming in. That's why they encase computers in complete metal shields. That's why they encase, you know, radios in complete metal shields. It's for shielding against electromagnetic interference. And then the antenna picks up the signal. But the electronics is shielded using a metal box. So you don't want to live in a metal box unless you want to be denied all of the electromagnetic component of the sun. But we're in that fall period where the sun is going south again, and I live in the northern hemisphere, so it's going to be warming up in New Zealand, though. That's the good news for the southern hemisphere. So Pete will be glad about that, I imagine. But it's going to be getting colder here now. Today I don't need any air conditioning, nor do I need any heat. It's the perfect time of year for that reason, or in that sense. But it's great news that my lower back is better. I mean, that's phenomenal. It's absolutely incredible how stopping eating sugar is helping me in so many ways. I mean, that one thing that I don't... Now my constipation is not causing incredible pain and bleeding, which it was before, because of the fact that now the inflammation in the area of my anus is not ridiculously extreme like I suppose it was. Must have been. But the thing is now it's almost unbelievable how much better it is. Without giving too many graphic details. I mean, it's just vastly, vastly better. I don't need to eat. I don't need to take as much magnesium. It's fantastic. I mean, so sugar is a poison. That's the upshot on that. And honey is also therefore dangerous, as we learned in Proverbs chapter 25 today. And we talked about it yesterday too, when we talked about honey. So it's going to be 44 minutes, it looks like. This is the video for today, September 25th, 2022, 1743 hours. Ward Green saying, I love you. Bye for now. Have a great day.